All right, guys, welcome to Traffic Stops and Canines. My name is Anthony Bandiero, attorney and senior legal instructor for Blue Gold Law Enforcement Training. Bring another webinar. This is going to be a fun webinar, high energy. We have a lot of people here. So if you're watching this on demand, you're going to be watching, and I'm going to be, there's hundreds of your fellow officers around the country here. And I think some prosecutors are here as well, plus very, very smart use of force experts like Mike Brave and all people just around the country. So we're here. I want to talk to you about traffic stops. I want to talk to you about, you know, how the canine can be utilized without violating people's rights. There's definitely some very, very important cases going on around the nation. I like to say that the canine is kind of under attack. And if it's under attack, it's mainly because they're very effective. And quite frankly, there are some people, in my view, that don't like what you do for a living. They're anti-police, or they think the system is broken. I'm not saying it's perfect. No criminal justice system is. But they go after the canine. And I'm going to tell you how they're going to do it. Okay? All right. Now, if I'm kind of looking off script, or off the camera, it's because I'm actually looking at the chats. I want to make sure I keep up with those. If people have a question that I think I should answer, I'm going to answer it. Also, I'm going to answer questions at the end of this webinar, okay? So if you have a question you want to ask live or chat, we do prefer live. That means that you can use your microphone. Just so you know, I cannot see you. I cannot hear you. I can only see what you say in the chat. If you do have a question, though, I like when people can hear your question. It's like, kind of like a radio show. I can actually ask you to turn on your mic. You can turn your mic, and then we can actually talk like a radio show. All right? All right. So, again, Anthony Bandiero here. I've been doing this for many, many moons. Statistically, I've taught more cop search and seizure than anybody else, just the sheer volume of cops that I've taught. I know that I also have instructors that teach for me that are definitely up there too, but I just think that just because the number of years I've been doing this, that I've taught the most, and I'm very proud of it. I have 2 degrees from Harvard. I have my JD from Gonzaga School of Law. I went to law school to do one thing, to do what I'm doing right now. I did not go to law school to go into the courtroom and try cases. I went here to just know as much as I could in order to be a professional legal instructor. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm also the author of a lot of books that I think that are valuable for your legal education. If you have not gotten the Search and Seizure Survival Guide, you got to get the books. A man is going to back my play. Rick is going to put a link to the books in the, you know, in the chat. I think last year, Rick, what did we sold or distributed over 40,000 books last year. So we are the definitely number one when it comes to search and seizure books. The report writing book is off the hook. I teach cops how to write reports in a very, very cop-friendly manner. So definitely get that. But you definitely got to check. You got to check the books. Okay, some quick disclaimers. So laws and agency SOPs may be more restrictive. This is a good example with running dogs around cars. Some states do not allow it, like New Mexico and Washington and some other more restrictive states. You cannot run a canine around a car just on free air sniff. You have to have reasonable suspicion to do it, right? And so that's fine. You know, my cops that work in those more restrictive states, they know that. Some states like New Jersey, they used to be restrictive, but now they actually, not now, but a few years ago, in a case called Witt, Dunbar, they went back to the federal standard. If you have any doubts about the legality of your actions, push up the chain. I'm not your attorney, so make sure that, you know, if you have any doubts about your enforcement action, you know, ask people that know. And finally, this course is legal education, not legal advice. So we're going to go through this. We're going to talk about free air sniffs, reasonable suspicion detentions, pre-alert touching of vehicles, and some miscellaneous issues. We'll be here for a solid hour. We got a lot to talk to, maybe a little over, right? We also have a lot of police officers that are working right now. So if you guys are getting some hot calls, some shots fired calls, bring us with you. Turn the mic on. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. The Fourth Amendment, it all starts with the Fourth Amendment. And I like to say the Fourth Amendment is pithy. It is short and sweet, okay? The Founding Fathers, I got to show you this, actually. The Founding Fathers, the framers, they were busy, okay? They wanted to get out of Philadelphia, call it a day, You know, they didn't want to go back. It was passed in 1791. They didn't want to go back to Philadelphia, that's for sure. They wanted to go home. But they ultimately didn't want to go to the club. They want to go to the pub. And this is our latest, you can kind of see a little bit, our latest challenge coin. And that is James Madison with some sunglasses on, because that's how creative we are at Blue to Gold. We don't F around. We got genius working over here, my friends. Okay? This is top-level marketing. Nobody would have ever thought in a million years to put some sunglasses on Madison and try to rebrand him as a cool guy. You know what I mean? So, and it says, there's a little quote from Madison that said, if men were angels, no government would be necessary. Or the Second Amendment. So, I like it. And Rick just put a link on it. It's brand new. And check it out. Yes, John, the Washington search. Oh, the search warrant book. Rick, is that back in stock yet? I think it's almost, right? Okay, so at the end of the day, back to the story. At the end of the day, the Fourth Amendment only prohibits one type of search or seizure. What type is that? What's the only type of search or seizure prohibited, restricted by the Fourth Amendment? And Sean says unreasonable, right? So if you're being reasonable, you're being what? 100% lawful and constitutional. Now, what does it mean to be reasonable? It means crew, okay? It means crew. Consent is going to, if you want to search my bag, no problem. Ask my consent. Recognize exception, reasonable suspicion and hot pursuit and the border exception and so forth. The motor vehicle exception. Or you're going to need a warrant, okay? Crew does not stand for can't really explain why. I got to tell you guys, those days are over, okay? You can't go to court anymore and just say, I did it for my training experience, okay? No, okay? Your training experience could be wrong, okay? If your training experience was everything that you needed and you could guarantee to the court that you were trained lawfully and 100% legitimately, then I would be out of a job, okay? You wouldn't need a guy like me to kind of come in and say, well, you know, this is not really the way we do business. I'll give you a great example, okay? An officer got a murder suspect, the guy in cold blood, gang member, killed this other guy for talking to his girl, you know, so just completely depraved heart. And they caught him a couple days later, and they got a search warrant for his phone. In the warrant, the cop put, based on my training experience, criminals use their phone to communicate. But that's it. No reason, no intel about how he used his phone, articulation about they saw him on the video using his phone, nothing about his post Miranda waiver, how he talked about how he used his phone to nothing. And on the phone, they found a picture of the victim's house, which kind of shows that he was lying in wait, and a text message that to one of his buddies, whatever, bragging about the murder. That's all out, okay? Because the court said, where is the articulation, okay? You got to explain the probable cause. You can't just presume it. Now, fortunately, the guy still got convicted because the evidence was overwhelming. But my point is this, okay? You need to articulate what you're doing out there. You need to know the rules of engagement, right? Yeah, Saul drunk arrested the same. Brandon, your chat settings went back to panelists. But what's funny is Brandon and Blake literally wrote the same thing. So they are twins, but they just haven't met yet. Okay, so free air sniffs. So the seminal case, right, of course, is Illinois versus Cabalas. Here's what we got, right? Get it together. I love it. So what happened here is an Illinois state trooper, okay? He sees Roy, and he's, you know, committing a traffic violation. They pull over Roy, and while one trooper is writing a ticket, the other one is sniffing his car with a canine. The dog alerts, right? And so what does Roy say, right? He's like, hey, that is a search under the Fourth Amendment. That implicates the Fourth Amendment. And the U.S. Supreme Court said no. They said that a dog sniff conducted during a lawful traffic stop that reveals no information other than a substance that no individual has any right to possess does not violate the Fourth Amendment. Now, let me ask you something, friends. If your state, you know, has not fully legalized, decriminalized marijuana, okay, and let's say it hasn't, and you have a dog that's proofed on marijuana, and now next year your state, you know, legalizes recreational use marijuana, and that dog alerts on that car with an adult in there, you know, not driven by a teenager or whatever, right? But an adult, and that dog alerts. Is that a valid alert, right? If the dog is proofed on marijuana and your state now has legalized marijuana? And the answer is no, it is not, right? Depends on marijuana laws. I have not, well, look, Illinois, Illinois, I have not seen a case that says the dog, well, first of all, it's legal in Illinois, but that's, I don't know why I threw that state in there. I was thinking of a case involving odor-proof containers in Illinois. Okay, that's a different story. But so improperly transporting cannabis, well, how would your dog know that? I mean, how would you train your dog to detect some violation? I mean, you're not going to have it sniff over an ounce of marijuana. It doesn't know. It's a yes or a no issue. So let me just give you a great case on this. State versus Ford, Florida, 2025, February 5th or something in 2025. I may be off on that. Okay. So the officer runs his canine around Ford's vehicle and it alerts. Now in Florida, recreational use marijuana is not legal, but medical marijuana is. And they found, you know, narcotics and so forth. Do you see the problem here? Do you see what the issue is? Ford successfully argued that the officer was unable to tell that court. How do we know that that dog was not alerting on medical marijuana versus illegal marijuana? And the court said, you are correct. You are right. You're going to walk. Now, the way you fix it, the way to fix it is the Commonwealth dog, right? The way you fix it, if you do have one of these issues, is to ask the person the simple question. Sir, do you have any medical marijuana in this vehicle? And if they say yes, okay, can I see your proof, your medical marijuana card? If they're going to say no, good. Then run your dog. You guys with me? Then run your dog, because if the dog alerts, then presumptively it's alerting on an illegal substance. That's how you fix those issues, by the way. Just ask some questions, right? Just ask some questions. Yep. So now, however, if, Zach says, why not just ask for consent? That's true. But you know what? If they don't say yes, then, you know, fine. We go to the plan B, right? Now, hold on. Let me make sure. So somebody says, if he says he's got it, would that give you PC to search? No. If he says he has a medical marijuana card, no, right? Because you can't search somebody's vehicle just to make sure they're complying with the law. Does that make sense? Is that kind of what you're asking, Logan? Or not Logan, Colby, right? You can't search a person's vehicle just to make sure they are complying with laws that allow people to possess controlled items. You can't search somebody's car to make sure their pack of cigarettes has the tax stamp on it. You can't search somebody's car to make sure that they paid the alcohol tax. And you can't search somebody's car to make sure the medical marijuana is not illicit unless there's some other reason to believe you have it, okay? But if he says he doesn't have the marijuana card, do things as normal. Now, if a suspect has a reasonable expectation of privacy where the dog is, they have a claim. Enter Hardinas. Here is what happened, okay? So this is where Hardinas lives, okay? So Miami PD get intel that that Hardinas is involved in marijuana growing and so forth. And they are going to do a knock and talk. Now, I teach curtilage color codes, right, Colby? Right, there we go. Curtilage color codes. What I'm trying to say here to you in brief here, I know we don't get into this in this class, but what I'm trying to say is green are open areas that are not protected by the Fourth Amendment. Yellow is curtilage, but it's where the Girl Scouts can go. Red is curtilage, but you should really not be there unless you have some compelling interest like exigency and so forth. Now, they brought Frankie, the drug-sniffing dog. Now, this is actually a picture of Frankie. And when I saw him, I said, well, that has to be Frankie, because this is Miami And look at all the cocaine in his nose. I mean, he just got off work. So they bring Frankie to the front door. He predictably alerts. They put that into a warrant. And now we are going to court. Are we good? The answer is no, right? Because the dog is not lawfully present. The way that you look at this is that the yellow has turned to red. Red means you're dead, or red means that you have to have a reason to be there, right? And you cannot bring a dog on curtilage without some implied consent or express consent, right? And you don't have implied consent. They call it a license under the law, but you don't have an implied license to bring a drug-sniffing dog. As the U.S. Supreme Court said, to find a visitor knocking on the door is routine, even if sometimes unwelcome. To spot that same visitor exploring the front path with a metal detector or marching his bloodhound into the garden before saying hello and asking permission would inspire most of us to, well, call the police, right? So the point is that you have to be lawfully present. But here's the other thing, okay? What about apartments? What about parking lots? This is a debated issue. This is there's a split of authority on this, okay? Some states care, some states don't. Texas will not allow you to deploy a drug sniffing dog in apartment hallways, but they don't care about motels, right? Same with Connecticut and so forth. South Dakota, they don't. You can sniff an apartment door if as long as it's a common hallway. So you have to check. What your state's case law says on that, or your circuit courts on that. So Reese says, what if it's still federally illegal, which it is, right? But the state says it's legal. Do you go by state? No, you are a state police officer. So unless you've been cross-deputized as a task force officer, a TFO, then you should not be actively enforcing federal law because you can't take enforcement action on that. You can submit that, you know, information to the feds, but usually you're going to end up violating people's states' rights by doing that kind of enforcement action. So you should be very, very careful on that. Okay, so officers conducted a random and suspicionless canine sniff on vehicles in a motel parking lot. Okay, good to go, okay? Pretty much in every state, okay, that does not require reasonable suspicion for vehicles. This is not a search. It requires no articulation. Generally speaking, you do not have to get the manager's permission from the pilot station to do it. The suspect, the driver of the 18-wheeler, does not have a standing to contest the dog's presence. He can't feel free, you know, he has to feel free to leave, so he's probably going to be sleeping. But I will tell you, man, if I was your chief and I wanted to, like, really, you know, clean up my city and really go hard charging against the drugs, I would deploy the canine around semi trucks that were, you know, parked in the pilot station sleeping, and I'd be very aggressive at the Motel 6. I just would. That's the way I feel about it. But of course, you're gonna end up getting a lot of work from that. Somebody says Greyhound buses. Sniffing a Greyhound bus is very difficult because you are gonna have to at least, I believe that you're gonna have to articulate whose bag is it coming from. So fine, it alerts, you pull some bags out, you give a positive indication on a particular bag, I think you're fine, but I don't think you can just go start going through 20 people's luggage, in my opinion. You do not need the manager's permission, Timothy, and the reason why is because the person, regardless, does not have standing. I'm not the defendant, would not have standing in a for the open to the public parking lot. Now, if you have controlled access parking lots, proxy cards, and so forth, you should definitely get manager's permission from there. Absolutely, that is a different analysis. That's a privacy analysis, but open to the public, it's an open field. Somebody asked me did not put it to general to everybody. Would you need a search warrant to go if it wasn't occupied? No, absolutely not. Not under the motor vehicle exception. However, I do teach cops that if you are going to do this and going to be very aggressive about it, you probably should get a warrant because it actually does make it feel a little cleaner. You know, it just makes it cleaner. But the point is, no, the motor vehicle exception does not require occupancy. Some states do. New Jersey, New Mexico. Well, New Mexico is exigency. Washington, you know, you might need exigency, Montana, and so forth. Okay, so as the court said, Nick's entry into the motel parking lot with the dog was a search under the Fourth Amendment if it intruded on a legitimate expectation of privacy. As the surveillance from across the street indicates, the parking lot was open and visible from the public roads bordering it. Ludwig has produced no evidence that that lot was fenced, that a gate prevented unauthorized entry, or even that signs restricted entry to the parking lot. I'm not sure that matters, by the way. A sign probably wouldn't be, like, no trespassing sign wouldn't be a deal killer for me. Neither the owner nor the guest could reasonably expect such a parking lot would be private, and therefore we are good to go. All right. Mike says, just to clarify, for hotel parking lots, we do not need permission from the driver of the vehicle or the manager. No, we do not. Absolutely not. But what's just to make sure you have to be good in your state, though, right? You have to be good on your state. In other words, you cannot live in a state that requires reasonable suspicion, right? Reasonable suspicion. But you probably don't. Okay, most states don't require reasonable suspicion for dog sniffs. Now, remember, if your canine is run without reasonable suspicion, the original reason for the stop must continue, okay? So the seminal case in this space is Rodriguez. What happened, right? Basically, what happened here is that Rodriguez was stopped by a Nebraska police officer. Rodriguez was detained allegedly without reasonable suspicion. The dog was running around the car. The dog alerted. We go from there, right? And he starts to argue that he was over-detained to run the dog without reasonable suspicion. I don't know, quite frankly, if you know the facts of this case, it's one of these cases where it should never reach the Supreme Court. This should have been handled at the prosecutor level. They should have just denied this case. It's a ridiculous. The guy was, you know, Rodriguez was detained for 7 minutes approximately while the dog was running around his vehicle. That is with no reasonable suspicion. That's an ab workout for a lot of people like me. So don't give me no, I can just detain you for 7 minutes with no justification. Okay. That's ridiculous. As the Supreme Court said, the tolerable duration of police inquiries in the traffic stop context is determined by the seizure's mission: to address the traffic violation that warranted the stop and to attend to related safety concerns. An officer, in other words, may conduct certain unrelated checks during an otherwise lawful traffic stop, but he may not do so in a way that prolongs the stop, absent the reasonable suspicion ordinarily demanded for justifying a detaining individual. So I just tell you that when it comes to canines, you don't get a lot of wiggle room, okay? You cannot be chasing butterflies on people's time. If they're detained, right, you better be on mission, okay? You got to stay on mission. Somebody on that traffic stop needs to be doing the traffic stop, unless you get this guy's consent to run the dog, right? Right? But if not, then you better be, running the traffic stop. Now, one thing about Rodriguez, it is all about time, not topic. Rodriguez does not tell you what you can and cannot ask. No. Rodriguez is all about, hey, are you adding time to that stop? If the answer is yes, especially for a canine, but if you're adding time for that, for unrelated business, you got to continue the traffic stop. Well, look, so somebody's asking, what if you're going to get a canine? It's a small town, takes 20 minutes out. Well, look, we're going to get to that, but you need to have reasonable suspicion to keep people for 20 minutes beyond their traffic stop to run a dog. That's not going to be a free air sniff Cabela style. That's going to be a search. Okay. Or I'm sorry, not a search. It's going to be a detention, but it is a free air sniff. It's just not Cabela style in the sense of one trooper does the work and another one runs the dog. You get my point. So the best practices, you can ask questions, rapport building and so forth. This is kind of a questioning thing. Now, here's some good advice for you. Okay. Here are ways to kind of call the canine out. This is when you do not have reasonable suspicion. Okay. Don't forget, we're going to get to reasonable suspicion in a second. This is when you do not have reasonable suspicion. The first option and the worst is it actually adds some time. Adds, like, I don't know, 10 seconds or so. Hey, dispatch, you know, can you see if the handler's available? Look, I think court's got to be very careful about suppressing that, just making a radio call. But I have seen it done. In particular, I've seen it done in Kootenai County, Idaho, where the judge threw it out because they added 5 seconds to the clock. Request is made during unavoidable downtime. That's a good one, my friends, okay? That is when you are... talk, you know, you're typing and you're talking to your canine handler on Bluetooth or something like that. The driver consents to a canine sniff. Fine. Hey, you can ask people for consent, usually without reasonable suspicion in most states, except your New Jerseys, your New Mexicos and so forth. You can multitask, right? Again, you're typing and talking, stuff like that. The backup officer is the best option. That is when, you got one officer doing the traffic stop and another one is doing some canine-related business. That is literally what happens in Cabela's. When does a traffic stop end? It ends when the officer releases the driver. So if you are, Johnny in a spot and you quickly release the driver, then it is over. Or alternatively, a reasonable amount of time has elapsed. Okay, let me kind of get down to business what I'm talking about here. In the old days, prior to Rodriguez, there was a concept out there known as bonus time. What that means is that some officers believed and were trained that, and actually some court cases seem to endorse it, was that if you normally took 15 minutes on a traffic stop, you could be Johnny on the spot just real quick and take 10 minutes to write that warning and then take the last 5 minutes to do something unrelated. Obviously, that's dumb. That's not constitutional, okay? That should have never been allowed, okay? If you're done, you're done, okay? If you want to be quick because you got to go to lunch, and you want to take your trooper lunch, your two-hour lunch, and you just want to get out of there, it is what it is. But the other thing that I don't want to see out there is you taking too much time in order to, slow down the traffic stop intentionally to get the dog out there, okay? So here's, and Darren, I can say with confidence because I was a trooper and I love my trooper lunches, man. Nice gig if you can get it. So look, okay, so here's what's going on out there, okay? And look, we're all friends here, okay? And you know what? If you're doing it, I want you to consider kind of, changing your tactics here. We have officers out there that are going to they want a free air sniff. So they stop the vehicle. The canine is like 5 minutes out. They do not have reasonable suspicion. So they want to do a free air sniff, without reasonable suspicion. And they do things like write paper tickets instead of digital tickets, right? MDT tickets, because those are a lot faster. They do things like really doing a lot of rapport building, to basically waste a lot of time. All I can tell you is this, okay? There's no magic formula to this. But if the courts pick up that you are purposely extending the traffic stop to get that canine out there, by the way, the canine being en route is going to be give them a clue that you may be dragging your feet, you're going to have a problem on your hands, okay? Now, let's talk about this case. So what happened here is that a suspect was stopped for speeding and the deputy handed off the citation to the backup officer to complete. The backup officer finished the citation and held onto it for 2 minutes while the canine was deployed around the car. We know, right, that that's not going to work, right? The fur missile. stop unlawfully extended, right? Okay, and I put these quotes in here just for the I don't have to read all these quotes, quite frankly, because they're more for like when you download the PowerPoint. Driver was stopped for speeding. While waiting for dispatch to return with the driver's warrant check, the officer ran his dog, which alerted him. Will that work? The answer is yes. That is unavoidable downtime. Okay. Now you may be asked, by the way, hey, why can't you start writing that ticket? Right? Why can't you start writing that ticket while you're waiting for dispatch? You better have an answer for that. Now your answer could be, look, the guy may be going to jail. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I want to know his history. Now, Joshua says, how do you feel about code? By the way, Josh is a good buddy of mine. How do you feel about running code for a sniff? Here's my advice. Don't do it. And here's why. Here's my advice. Let's talk about no reasonable suspicion, okay? If you don't have reasonable suspicion, then you're definitely violating, in my view, you're violating state law because you're supposed to, well, I think you're violating your state law because most state laws say you can run code for certain reasons, right? Like, why are you running code? Where's the emergency? So my problem is that if you get into a wreck, right? If you get into an accident and you're like, why were you running lights and sirens? Why'd you freak out this 80-year-old driver and she crashed and you crashed into you and so forth? And, just to go do a dog sniff, there's no emergency. I think liability wise, I think you abused, but I think that the officer would be abusing their statutory authority to run code. And, also if it's reasonable suspicion, I wouldn't run code on that either. Now, hold on, I'll adapt that for a second. But I wouldn't be running code anyway, because you have a reasonable amount of time to get to the scene, and the courts will not require you to run lights and sirens to get to the call. Now, I will tell you that if I was in the middle of nowhere, Texas, and I got to go, 30 miles to go to the, to the traffic stop, and the cop has reasonable suspicion, yeah, I might turn the lights on just to kind of speed a little bit and just keep people, makes people aware of my presence if it's at night and so forth. But I wouldn't do it unless I had a good reason. Okay. Yep. Casual driving to move vehicles either way. Yep. Yeah. Get there with urgency. Get there with urgency. I agree. Driver stop for speeding. I already told you the answer on that. That's unavoidable. That's downtime. That's downtime. Okay. Again, I'm not gonna read all the quotes because I put them in there for your reference for later. Canine was deployed without reasonable suspicion. The primary officer stopped writing the ticket in order to provide 2.5 minutes of cover while the dog was deployed, right? This is no good. The problem here is that we're extending the traffic stop for unrelated reasons, right, Jessica? For unrelated reasons. And I will read this quote. So the court said the traffic stop is a seizure, but it is not an unreasonable seizure under the Fourth Amendment so long as there is a reasonable suspicion that the vehicle is being driven contrary to traffic laws. Okay. The stop remains a reasonable seizure while the officer diligently, that's always going to be the word, pursues the purpose of the stop to which that reasonable suspicion is related. However, should the officer abandon the purpose of the stop, the officer no longer has that original reasonable suspicion supporting his actions. A seized party's Fourth Amendment rights are violated when the original purpose of the stop is abandoned, right? Is abandoned. My policy end up in copy. I think I understand what you mean, but maybe. Okay. So again, delaying the traffic stop for 2.5 minutes while performing a backup function for a drug dog sniff, they violated the Fourth Amendment. A federal officer extended a stop to question driver about drugs and called for a canine without reasonable suspicion. The driver sued for a civil rights violation. Yes, right? And the officer was liable. It's clearly established that you cannot extend a traffic stop just for a dog. Well, that's Rodriguez, right? I mean, it's crystal clear. Okay. Now, if the handler, now this is one issue that sometimes comes up. If the handler made the stop and wants to hand off the stop to a backup officer in order to run the canine, the transition should be seamless. I do not want a lot of chit-chat about why the dog is being run. That's why I like it when non-handlers are in my class, because I tell them, hey, if the handler calls you as a backup officer and you show up, and he says, hey, take over the stop, write the passenger for no seatbelt, write the driver for speeding, 10 over. Don't be like, well, why can't you do it? Oh, you're going to run the dog? What you got going on? If they don't want to tell you, then they don't want to tell you. Because the thing is, if they don't have reasonable suspicion, I don't want to like see a lot of chit-chat, right? And I'm talking to my sergeants here as well, that may be the boss of that cannon handler. Let the cannon handler, they know what they're doing here, okay? Let them do their job. Just take over the traffic stop. Because the more you talk without reasonable suspicion, the more the argument's going to be that you are extending it for a canine-related purpose, okay? And if my handler's out there, like Josh and so forth, I know, because they've been taking, especially Josh takes my class, his people know what time it is. They know what to do with those seamless transitions. Let's watch a video on this kind of point. All right, so We know that there's obviously going to be drugs in there. Not obviously, but there are drugs in there. So, okay, a couple things. Okay. The reason I show that video is that to kind of show and illustrate that canine handler, from what we see, okay, does not have reasonable suspicion. Getting weird looks, nervous looks is not reasonable suspicion. It's part of reasonable suspicion. It's suspicious. It's just not there yet. Now, so let's call this a transition. Did you see evidence of another officer writing a ticket while the dog was deployed around the car? The answer is yes. And that's why I showed that video. Now, real quick, somebody asked, what if the canine handler, look, the patrol officer thought he had reasonable suspicion. The canine handler shows up. He's checking his work. Why do you think you have reasonable suspicion? The handler says, in my experience, we don't have it. I'm not running my dog around that car. Kick him loose. Amanda says, what do you think about live patrol, right? Live on patrol, in that where the officer goes back to the camera and explains the reason for the stop. Generally speaking, I think it's okay. I think it's I think it's it could be a problem, right? We have some cases from the Supreme Court where media went into the house during a search warrant and they found that to be a Fourth Amendment violation. But I would just argue that, look, this is the what's happening here is really the same thing as FTOs, right? Trainees. I'm just trying to educate the public, okay? And I'm doing it through this medium. And it's kind of mission related. Educating people, it's the same thing as I think, Amanda, that if I had a new guy explain to them why the stop occurred, I think it is. It's an educational opportunity. Oh, actually, did somebody just say that? David said that. Nice job, David. Okay. All right. Okay, let's continue. So I think we're gonna have a lot of questions at the end, Rick. Okay. All right, excuse me. So arrest detentions. Now, the rules are absolutely different when you have reasonable suspicion. If you have reasonable suspicion, the occupants can be detained for a reasonable amount of time, right? For a reasonable amount of time. How long do you have? Well, there's only one state that has a time limit. What state is that? There's only one state that actually puts a time limit on this issue. And that is, nope, it's not Washington. It's going to be Nevada. Yep, it's in Nevada. So occupants can be detained while canines are en route, while they diligently are en route, okay? So Nevada is 60 minutes, period. It's just the law in Nevada. But I did hear somebody say that New Hampshire is 4 years, but I have not, I'm sorry, 4 years. 4 years, detaining for 4 years? That New Hampshire is 4 hours. It's 4 hours. Okay, so the word is diligent, okay? Hey, Rick, you got to help me. Remember, like, was it like Pee-wee's Playhouse? And, you know, remember we watched it as a kid? That's how bad TV was back then. But, like, there was a word of the day, and every time they said it, like, everything was like, you know, all the little characters, right? You got to help me with that. I want that little bit because I want to put it in my PowerPoint because every time, you know, we say diligent, it's the word of the day, okay? So when you write your report or you are articulating that you got there, you know, on time, it's all about diligence, okay? But be careful, you know, about taking out a, you know, like going off course and so forth. Occupants were detained for 50 minutes while waiting for a canine. Is 50 minutes a lot of time? Yes, it is. But it's not too much as long as the cop was what? Diligently heading to the scene, right? Okay. But don't make unnecessary stops. Don't be bringing coffee back for the boys at the office, okay? Don't be dropping, if you're on the way to the courthouse to drop off paperwork and you get that call that, hey, you gotta, you know, we need a sniff. You gotta go. Okay. Keep driving past the courthouse. If you're in the courthouse and you're like 10 feet away from the clerk's office and you're about to drop off your warrant from last night, drop it off and leave. I mean, let's not be ridiculous about this, but somebody said, Brandon says, don't get donuts. How dare you? Okay. I will kick you out if you ever say something like that again, okay? Man, it's almost like disrespectful. All right. Now, you also may tell someone you know what? I don't like donuts, okay? You want to know the truth, okay? I'm not a donut guy, never have been. I am a bagels guy. So when I go to training conferences, whatever, and they got the bagels out, I'm like, now we're with the – that's 2025 right there, okay? I don't want no – yeah, I'm bougie. Yeah, bougie. I don't want no donuts, man, quite frankly. I don't have a sweet tooth like that. Okay. So you may tell someone a justified legal truth, okay? And provide options. But you can't make coercive threats. This is an urban legend with a lot of people, okay? They think that people cannot change their mind about the canine sniff. Here, listen to the case, okay? Officer had reasonable suspicion for narcotics. Okay, so reasonable suspicion, that's great news. And asked for consent to search the vehicle. The driver said no. The officer then said, well, that's fine, okay? That's fine. I'm just going to, you know, call the canine. The canine's going to take like 20, 25 minutes. We'll just hold you up here. And the driver says, oh, okay, well, you can sniff my car. Now, are we good? Yes, we are good, okay? Telling someone the truth is not coercion. And I can't tell you how many cops don't like this and like, I don't know. We can't do that. Okay. Look, at the end of the day, you do you and you know, make your own decisions. I'm just telling you that this is not coercion. State versus Baum, a case out of New Jersey, but I also have a lot of cases from other states as well. Okay. I have never, okay. Just so you know, I have never, State versus Baum, Dustin, but a case out of New Jersey. But I have never found a case that says I'm wrong. In fact, can I tell you something? How many people on this webinar arrest people for drunk driving? They don't want to do a chemical test, okay? And then you say, hey, okay, you don't have to do a chemical test. You don't have to breathe or bleed if you don't. I'll get a warrant. But just so you know, if you refuse, you're going to lose your license for a year. Oh, I don't want to lose my license. I'll breathe. I'll bleed. Did they change their mind after telling them the truth? So how do we get away with that? It happens every single day in America. So the point is that don't just, and can I also tell you one more thing? Some of my officers are like, Anthony, I hear you, but I ain't doing it, okay? I'm going to just call the canine. And I say, yes, that's cool. But why would you throw away a tool I just gave you? Because what if your canine handler, what if my boy Josh was packing for Maui in the morning, okay? He's off, he's like literally, he just got off shift, and he's the only canine available. You're going to take him off shift so he can't pack or he can't go, you know, to his date or whatever. The point is, just don't throw it away, okay? Josh would be pissed. Hey, actually, I know this dude. He has good taste. He'll be using the, he wants the overtime. So, as the court said, okay, the first officer told Baum that he suspected that there was something in the car and that she should not be there, and asked her if she wanted to tell him what was going on. Baum said that they had been smoking marijuana earlier, but she did not know whether the defendant had brought any into the car. When the officer said that he could summon a drug-sniffing dog, Baum admitted that there was marijuana in the car, but told him that it belonged to the defendant. This is actually a bad quote because she actually said no to the consent search. I didn't get the right quote. But the point is, check the case out. It actually is good. Now, yeah, okay. You tell the truth. They normally go with it's knowing and what's going to happen. Yeah. So, but don't lie though. Okay. You better have reasonable suspicion, and you better believe a dog could be gotten. Okay. So let's talk about pre-alert touching. This is a very, very big issue. What's going on here is that the FBI put a tracker on Antoine Jones's vehicle. Rick or Teresa, can you grab the link to the YouTube podcast of this? So with Antoine Jones. So they put a tracker on Antoine Jones's vehicle. They track him for about 30 days. What's up, my friend? Oh, that's awesome. Gary's here. Gary, I'm going to be talking to you very soon. You know, we're going to be having a good podcast very soon with your dad. All right. So, they put the tracker on the vehicle. They track him for 30 days. They get intel, or, you know, they PC that he has a stash house full of drugs. They hit his house. He has $1 million in cash, 100 kilos of cocaine. And I he's a free man now because his case was overturned and he won his legal battle. Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that, my friend. And he says that this was a search under the Fourth Amendment. And the U.S. Supreme Court says, you know what? You are correct, right? A search occurs when police intentionally trespass onto a protected area with the intent to gather information, okay? Intent to touch, right? Intent to trespass with the intent to gather information. That is a search. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Okay, so here's what happened. Trooper Manny Gonzalez of the Texas Highway Patrol, he was behind a 2003 Dodge Ram pickup. He saw that the left rear tire was wobbling, okay? It was wobbling, so he pulled over for an unsafe vehicle. And the first thing I ask you, okay, was that a good reason to pull over a vehicle, huh? Was that a good reason to pull over a vehicle, a wobbling tire? You're damn right. You're damn right. In my world, that's a felony, okay? You better take this highway safety stuff seriously, okay? I'm tired of people saying that the troopers aren't doing the same amount of heavy lifting as my locals, okay? So, troopers got a troop, you know what I mean? So, the trooper stopped the vehicle. He got reasonable suspicion that there was something going on in the tires. I think somebody actually asked about tires, you know, wobbling tires. And he poked on the tire. He poked on the tire. And he felt something in there. And when he brought the vehicle back to the dealership, and he had all four tires cut open, and there was like 90 pounds of meth and heroin in the tires. Now, Manny's on the left, by the way. Okay, that's Manny, our deer trooper from the Texas Highway Patrol, one of the best agencies on planet Earth, if you ask my opinion. Now, so when she goes to court, she tries to argue that this was a search, and the judge was not buying it. We're going to be going over a time, guys, so I said an hour, but I'm not going to let this go. I want to finish my webinar. He said, and I quote the judge, "Ma'am, we don't recognize any privacy interests in poking tires in Texas." Guilty. 15 years in prison. She goes up to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. She says, "I'm not arguing privacy. I'm arguing trespass." And when the poker, when the trooper poked that tire, that was a search. And the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed. Now, searching is also done when you put chalk on a tire, according to Taylor versus Saginaw. This is Taylor, okay? She gets 12 parking tickets. She's single and ready to mingle, but she don't like getting parking tickets, okay? So she goes to the court of the district court, and she says, "This was a search, okay? This was a search," and the court agreed. Chalking is a search for Fourth Amendment purposes, as the district court aptly noted. Despite the low-tech nature of the investigative technique, the chalk marks clearly provided information to Hoskins. This practice amounts to an attempt to obtain information under Jones. Based on what you see here, okay, based on what you see here, would the officer need, would he need reasonable suspicion to run that dog around the car for drugs? Would he need reasonable suspicion to run the dog around the car for drugs? No. Okay? No. Keep going. No. Nope. Okay. I think we got the okay. And the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Nice job, Gary. Okay? And Kyle and so forth. The answer is yes. Was that guy free to leave, right? While the dog was deployed around the car, right? Tim just said, right? No, right? He was not free to leave. Was the officer adding time to the detention to run the can around the car? There it is, right? Was it a backup officer running that dog around the car? He was doing it. Now, did he have reasonable suspicion for drugs? I don't know. Let's assume that he did. The next question I had for you is this, okay? Yes, a guy being told to sit on the curb while a canine was deployed around his car would not feel free to leave, right? And he also complied. Now, the next question I have for you, did the canine conduct a search under the Fourth Amendment? Was this a search or was this Caballus, right? Search, yes or no? Okay, the answer is yes, right? I'll show you exactly when it occurred.
Let's go find out.
Okay, the verbal cueing is, I'll be cautious on that. Ready? One, two, now. Now.
Check. Up.
And again, right there. Okay. So, you cannot intentionally, in my view, and you can disagree with me all you want, right? We're all friends here, but you cannot intentionally direct a drug sniffing dog to touch a car. Period. Full stop. In my view. Okay, so an officer directed his canine with his hand to go low to high on a truck bed. In response, the canine jumped up and placed his paws on the vehicle and pressed his nose against the truck. Right? That is exactly pretty much what happened there, right? So, okay. So, the government claims that it is frivolous for Thomas to contend that the dog's contact with his truck was a Fourth Amendment search. After Jones, his argument cannot be so easily dismissed, okay? So, thus, it is conceivable that by directing the drug dog to touch the truck in order to gather sensory information about what was inside, the officer searched the vehicle under the Fourth Amendment. Brandon, do you want to jump on real quick, or you want to ask your question? Okay, let's bring you on real quick.
You hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, brother. So, free air sniff, window down. Dog jumps up into the area of the window down without the handler directing him, mm-hmm. Because the odor would escape out the window. The dog doesn't necessarily meddle into the car, but then alerts, right? So the dog doesn't touch the car essentially, other than the paws being on the car And then alerts your opinion on that, and then I'll go mute it.
Okay, look, so right now, you said, so the dog instinctually, you know, did its thing, right? It touched the vehicle, right? That's actually going to be this issue right here. So what if the dog touches the vehicle without handler direction? Okay, the question is, was it instinctual? Did the handler direct it? No, the handler did not, right, Brandon? The next thing is, oftentimes the touching, the like the dog jumping into the car is actually the it actually is the change of behavior that is actually probable cause. Okay, so a lot of handlers, you know, not some states require a final response, but in those states where change of behavior is PC, you don't need a final response for actual PC. This will work. So Brandon, so right, yeah, exactly. So now I will tell you that low's the way to go, but I will tell you that. Yeah, exactly. Douglas, it's all about what the handler is going to be the one articulating this, okay? But I will tell you this. If we have a dog jumping up on a truck bed, for example, and the dog does not have a change of behavior, that's just the dog snooping around, sniffing around, and the handler is not prepared to articulate at that point it's PC, okay? What should the handler do at this point? If he sees a dog jump up on a truck bed and sniffing around, doesn't see change of behavior, what should the dog handler do? Recall. Yep. Because what I'm going to argue is that that was acquiescence. Okay, that's what I call it. I call it you're acquiescing into the with the trespass. Okay, so but also U.S. versus Stone. This is also your case. Driver opened the trunk to retrieve paperwork, and the canine instinctually jumped in and then alerted. Right. And what's Gary say here? This was not a search in the Fourth Amendment. Now, not all states agree. Okay, so a canine instinctually entered an open window to sniff. This was done without PC or consent. The Idaho Supreme Court said that this was a search. Like the marking, look at what the court said, right? Like the marking of chalk on a car tire's tread, a dog's nose passing through an open window is a minimal interference with property. But the right to exclude others from one's property is a fundamental tenet of property law. And we see no room in the Jones test for a de minimis exception, okay? So basically they're not playing games here. Okay. Now here is a Dorf case where, the cop, you know, articulate or intentionally pointed high in the truck vehicle, a car, and it actually alerted. And the court said, again, like, these are searches under the Fourth Amendment. Okay. And I got to tell you, in sum, a warrantless Fourth Amendment search occurred when narrow trespass against Dorf's vehicle for the purpose of obtaining information and so forth. Now, they also try to take this case to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said, no, they're not taking it. What does that mean? That doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't mean anything legally, but it could be a clue. I don't know. It could be a clue. Take it for what you want. Maybe the Supreme Court doesn't see a problem with it, or maybe they're waiting for a better case. The point is, that's where we're at. And if Idaho, I like to say, if Idaho is saying that there's an issue, okay? If they're saying keep the dogs off the car, what do you think Illinois is going to say? What do you think New York is going to say? What do you think California, you know, may say? California can be kind of a good state for us, but for search and seizure. But keep the dogs off of cars, okay? Okay. So my final question to you is, did you find some information useful, right? This is like a roller coaster, barnstorming. This is a lot of good information. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. What I want to do is this. I want to say goodbye to my on-demand watchers, because I'm going to do some trivia, and you don't get any prizes, and you know, unless you actually attend live, okay? Look at the love here. That's actually very, very nice. I do appreciate that, okay? Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to restart the recording, okay? And we're going to record again, and we're going to put all this onto YouTube as well, and I'm going to answer all your questions. So just, guys, stick around, okay? Just give me a few minutes, okay? Let's do some trivia. Then we're going to answer questions live, okay? Okay. So my on-demand guys, I'm glad you watched this. If you share with your friends, download it, put it into your training materials, do whatever you want. You have my permission. And I appreciate you guys. All right? All right. So for my on-demand guys, I'm going to end the recording.